Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
For the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 234. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And we got a Sunday night show that we're recording on Monday night once again. But it's a good thing because apparently the entire hot stove world exploded on Monday. We actually have a couple of signings to mention, but also Phillies rumors exploding everywhere. So we're going to get to all that coming up here in just a few minutes. First, let me welcome in the crew once again. Joining us is from The Good Fight, the managing editor, Justin Clue. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin_Clue. Justin, have you recovered from the barrage of Phillies news, rumors, and maybe even, dare I say, BS that got thrown our way here on Monday?
I got to say, there's only a couple of times during the off season when it's absolutely klaxons blaring, lights flashing, papers flying mode. And we were lucky to come off the holiday weekend and have one of those days. So that was pretty nice. Those are typically isolated events throughout the season. The rest is just kind of like a low static sound that as we all slowly lose our minds. But today was a nice return to baseball after the holiday weekend before, you know, some long periods of madness.
Absolutely. And also joining us is our former director at The Good Fight, now with Yahoo Sports, Liz Rocher. Follow Liz on Twitter at Liz Rocher. Liz, I think everybody was just saving everything up during the holiday break and decided to unleash it here on us.
Bring it on. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I want Phillies rumors of all kind. I want them coming out of my eyes, my ears. I want them coming out of every hole. Because I'm ready to be bathed in rumors. Give them all to me.
Wow.
Well, this episode just got flagged.
It got blue in a hurry, didn't it? Well, on episode 233, I mentioned...
I didn't mention any specific holes other than my eyes.
I was moving on, Liz.
Every hole. We all heard you.
I was just going to move on past it, but, you know, all right, let's dwell here for a few minutes. No, what we've learned here today is that the Phillies are in on everybody. I mean, I mentioned it on the last podcast, but it's clear the Phillies are in on everybody. I mean, there's not a single free agent. There's not a single big name on the trade market that the Phillies are not getting attached to at this point. And it all started, go ahead, Jim.
I just want to jump in real quick and say that this is something that was expected and not at all surprising. And just to see the a couple of the people who cover this sort of reach this realization that the Phillies might actually make some moves before they sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. And I mean, they were always going to add more than those two guys, but this prevailing sense that they were either going to get those two guys or one of those guys and do nothing else has just like permeated and colored the entire coverage of the Phillies offseason moves or non-moves thus far. And again, you saw more people treating that fact as news today when, again, it was like, yeah, they were always going to add because they need more than that right now. They need a lot of things. And so this is not really like off the wall stuff here.
Right. Now, Justin's referring to MLB.com's John Morosi's report that the Phillies are not going to wait around on decisions from Harper or Machado before updating its roster. Team source told Morosi it's possible the team will sign multiple free agents before they come to terms with Harper or Machado, provided they're able to come to terms with Harper or Machado. Sources told him that the Phillies have interest in starting pitchers Patrick Corbin, Nathan Eovaldi, and Jay Happ, closers Craig Kimbrell and Zach Britton, as well as outfielders Michael Brantley and A.J. Pollock, among some other free agents. And yeah, Justin, you're right. I mean, this, even if they were to go sign a few of these different guys, it doesn't preclude them from signing Harper or Machado. The Phillies never said we're not doing anything until we get one of the two big guys in the fold, because you're right, they have the payroll space to do whatever they want to do. They don't have to wait around. And for me, this is a shot across the bow also at Harper or Machado, basically telling these guys, listen, let's start to get the ball rolling here a little bit. Let's piss or get off the pot. You know, this we're starting to now get into the enough of the hot stove where the dead period should be starting to move past. Seems to me the Phillies want to get this ball rolling here already.
I mean, I completely agree with you. It's a shot across the bow. It's, you know, pay attention. You know, it's also a sign that they know that there's more to fix than just, you know, that Harper and Machado will help a lot, but they're not going to do everything. You know, they need to look at pitching. You know, they have trades they want to make. They've got, you know, the Phillies have, they don't just have money. They have prospects. They have prospects that they can use for trades. Like, we're no longer at the point where we have to hoard every single prospect that comes in the system. Not even prospect. Every single dude that's set foot in the system for like several years was held on to because no one knew what he could become. And he could become the next great thing that the Phillies need, because the Phillies need a lot of things.
Right.
But now we're pretty sure, you know what we don't need? We don't need a first baseman. We have two currently. Before we got rid of Jess.
Maybe. We'll get to that in a
second.
Well,
currently we've got two, but first base is not a position that's hard to come by. That's not a position that's hard to come by. And the Phillies, you know, they're things the Phillies don't need. They don't need eight of, you know, whatever dude. So they can spend some guys. They're no longer worried about missing out on the next big thing. They think they know what they have in their system. And so they're willing to start making trades and signing guys beyond just the two that everyone wants them to sign. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they have to make the team better beyond it. And so there's sort of, it's a shot across the bow for everybody. You know, they're letting Harper and Machado know as well that, you know, they're serious about making the team better, that they're not the only, you know, they're not going to be all that they depend on to be, you know, to get them across the finish line, which is important too, because I don't think anybody wants that to be on their shoulders.
It's just like dating, you know, ignore a couple of texts and suddenly you're a lot more interesting.
That's right. No, that's right.
Great advice to pass on to all of our listeners, Justin.
You're welcome, everyone.
It's called the C+ effort of dating. You know, just give a C+ effort in the first few months.
You don't know what I'm up to. Maybe I'm out there talking to starting pitching talent or relief pitchers for the back end of my bullpen. You don't know what I'm doing out there. So, you know.
If you're returning Scott Boris's call the second he leaves you a message, you know, you just come off as desperate. It's
exactly.
Not the way you want to do it. Yeah. No, totally. Totally. I was so good.
See, John
women.
Gets it.
Yeah, I was so good. Man, my dating life was fantastic. No, listen, I think this is important, because you do see a Phillies team that is aggressive, and we know they're aggressive, and we hear that they're connected to everybody. And, you know, we heard a rumor today. You mentioned first base a second ago. As Jason Stark reported that a source said the team was discussing a package that would have included Zach Eflin and several young players for Paul Goldschmidt. But then here's the funny part. The deal fell apart apparently when the Phillies tried to include Carlos Santana in it. So
funny.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with this particular deal. There's a lot we don't know. We don't know the
others.
I am
so confused. So confused as to what this team's weird thing with Carlos Santana is. They're embarrassed to want to trade him. They can't get rid of him.
But they're trying to get rid of him at all times and everything.
Right.
I mean, this is my theory. My theory is that the Diamondbacks wanted them to include a top prospect, which is valid. Because,
yeah,
you know, Paul Goldschmidt would warrant that. And I think the Phillies were willing to put him in, but the only way they would do it is if they took on Carlos Santana and perhaps maybe more money than they should have asked for.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
That makes a lot of sense. And you wonder if, you know, is Zach Greinke kind of tangentially associated with this? I know the Diamondbacks don't want to include Greinke on there, and I don't know that I even want Greinke with already having Jake Arrieta on the team. And you know,
I'm good on my 30 plus pitchers for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. Although Greinke has really pitched really well the last couple of years. But I mean, it's the whole thing about the Santana salary, like you mentioned. You know, are they talking about wanting Adonis Medina for Goldschmidt, who, by the way, is a rental. You'd only have him for this 1 year. He's a free agent after the season. So, you know,
my guess is that it would also be some kind of deal they would want to sign with him. Maybe not contingent, but you know,
you would think that that would kind of be in the works. But at the same time, then, you know, you've got what? Okay, so if you can't offload Carlos Santana, well, now you're putting Rhys Hoskins back out in left field for a season, Justin, and you know, you've got Carlos Santana still there somewhere. You got to imagine at that point now you're looking desperate. You've got to move Carlos Santana unless you want to make him the everyday third baseman next year, which I don't know is something this team wants to do either. So,
That's kind of like, I'm glad you mentioned Hoskins, because showing interest in Goldschmidt and even trying to involve Santana in a trade for him indicates that even if they move Santana, they're still not officially locked into making Hoskins the everyday first baseman if they're willing to acquire Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, granted, if you can acquire a Paul Goldschmidt, you probably...
I think there's exceptions to the rule. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, this is Paul Goldschmidt. He's not bad at getting on base. He gets walked out of fear a lot. He doesn't have more than you would expect strikeout wise. It's more than like, you know, like Carlos Santana, but he's also just that kind of hitter. He did see an uptick in strikeouts this year, more so than he has at any other year of his career. But if you're jonesing for an impact bat to knock in runs the way the Phillies should be, then who's better than a guy who's been an all-star for six straight seasons? But my question was, the Phillies, let's say they get Goldschmidt and are clearly ready to restructure the outfield as well, do you think Rhys Hoskins was a part of that deal, that he goes to Arizona if they acquire Paul Goldschmidt? I mean, the fact that you mentioned the 1 year aspect of that kind of torpedoes that idea, unless they were going to work out a multi-year deal with him. But I mean, that, I don't know. Does that make any sense?
I think that would, I mean, but Goldschmidt's going to be 31 years old this next season. And obviously Goldschmidt is a much better player than Rhys Hoskins. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. He's a perennial MVP candidate. But you're also talking about a guy who's entering his 30s, whereas Hoskins is in his mid-20s. And you know all this, but I don't think, even if they were to sign Goldschmidt to a 4 or 5 year extension or something like that, I don't know that I would do that necessarily. And certainly I don't know. I would not replace Hoskins with Goldschmidt. I would just bite the bullet with Hoskins in left field for another season if it meant I had Goldschmidt's bat for a season. And that's kind of how I would approach it.
Yeah, I suppose there is a big difference in having Goldschmidt be the reason he's not at first base, more so than Carlos Santana. That does make sense. And it would be better if, you know, if there was only one season of experimenting like that where Hoskins has to be in left field. But that thought crossed my mind today. If they were, again, acquiring a first baseman with Rhys Hoskins still in left field for another year, with like Santana seeming like he's the main roadblock to that, but he's included in the deal, it just seemed like, if this was going to be as big a trade as it seemed, then they might have made a move like that. But no, yeah. I mean, you know, that doesn't make...
It's a valid question. I mean, I think you raise a valid point. I think what we're seeing here is nothing's off the table. I mean, they did say... I mean, they're not trading Aaron Nola. But I think everybody else, at least if you mention Rhys Hoskins in a trade, Klentak's not going to hang up the phone on you. You know, right. he'll listen. But I certainly don't think that particular swap makes a whole lot of sense. If Goldschmidt was already under contract for like an additional 2 seasons or additional 3 seasons... Maybe that starts to become something I could see happening, but I certainly wouldn't do that, Liz. I think that would be a little bit too short-sighted. I know this team wants to win in 2019,
a reversal of philosophy that would be. suddenly they're like, okay, win now. Replace everyone with 1 year deals for the best players we can find.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think you'd get hung up on about, you know, Rhys Hoskins, but I'm trying to think of a player who would be available for trade, who would be waived, who a team would want to get, who a team would be willing to give up to get Rhys Hoskins. Like, I can't imagine a player, because if he's that valuable, if the Phillies would want him that much to give up Rhys Hoskins, why isn't he that valuable to the team trying to trade him? And why is Rhys Hoskins more valuable than whoever that player is? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying. And I think it would have to be something along the lines of, like, if Rhys Hoskins led a Noah Syndergaard trade or something like that. You know what
something
I mean?
Something like that. It would have to be a Noah Syndergaard. It would have to be, you know, Sixto Sanchez realized. It would have to be like, that's the only player that that type of player is the only one that I could imagine the Phillies wanting to give up Rhys Hoskins for, because they love him. He is, they've put him in front of the media. He's been doing commercials. Someone, for the love of God, get him a voice coach. He is such a sweet guy, but he sounds like a plank of wood on the radio.
Well, I mean, I'm
did
just
some ads for the I think the Philly school system or something like that, you know, before the end of the year, and hearing him on the radio was just like, someone help him. But the Phillies love him. They love him, and I don't think they're willing to give up anything. You know, I mean, if it's Noah Syndergaard, yes. But I'm trying to think of what else the Phillies would have to give up to get him, and I don't think that makes it worth it for the Phillies.
No, I don't.
The other
thing
was that if we were left to fill in the blanks as far as who else was involved with that deal other than Zach Eflin. I mean, when that was the only name in that we learned, I kind of jumped to it. Wow, if Zach Eflin is leading the deal for Paul Goldschmidt, I don't care who's behind him. If Zach Eflin's the bar, then great. I'll just ship those people out, I guess. They can't be that great.
What are they seeing in Zach Eflin that we don't is always what I wonder. But maybe it's nothing.
No, I mean, you know me. I'm not an Eflin guy. I know, Liz, you like him. To me, he's easily the number five. And if they add another starting pitcher, which is probably what makes Zach Eflin expendable right now, is that you hear the Phillies are connected to all these different starting pitchers. But, you know, going back to Goldschmidt for just a second, it is surprising because the Phillies already have two first basemen, and to acquire another first baseman sounds ridiculous on its face.
They're just collecting them now.
They're collecting first basemen, and obviously Santana would have to go. They'd have to sell him cheap. They'd have to sell him for pennies on the dollar. It might even have to be a throw-in.
Just release him.
You might have to eat half the money. But it's clear this was a mistake signing. I mean, I've been trying to, you know, pump up the signing a little bit of Carlos Santana because I do feel like he was someone who provided something to the team last year, but he's clearly an obstacle, and that's what he is right now. He's an obstacle. And getting Paul Goldschmidt in this lineup would just be amazing. Assuming you sign Harper, can you imagine having Hoskins and Harper and Goldschmidt in the same lineup all together? I mean, yeah, see, it makes you giggle
so
because it's so exciting.
I feel like it somehow wouldn't be allowed to happen, and like it would be something of a mirage the way that sort of thing always is.
They let the Yankees do it this year.
The Yankees.
I always go back to it's incredible that Pujols, Trout, and Josh Hamilton were all in the same lineup at the same time. But that really only hung together like with them all being effective for maybe 40 days. Like
I was just gonna say
right. Oh man. Well, here's the other thing that's interesting. And to kind of go back to the Morosi thing for just a second, you know, he's talking about the Phillies being interested in all of these free agent starting pitchers. Exactly at what point did the Phillies decide to deviate from you buy the bats and develop the pitching? We had heard over and over and over and over again that this team didn't want to go out and sign free agent pitchers, especially pitchers who were entering into their 30s. I mean, if Jose Fernandez was still alive, he would have been hitting the free agent market this year as well. That's a guy in their dollars too. But Patrick Corbin, is he a 6-year, $150 million guy for you? I mean, he's a great
Who's
pitcher.
Who's given that to him, though?
Well, that's the thing. Somebody's going to.
No.
You don't think somebody's giving him?
Maybe some team will, but that'll be their loss. Like I am against giving contracts longer than maybe 4 to 5 years to literally any pitcher.
How many years did Yu Darvish get yet last year? I want to look up the Yu Darvish contract.
Six.
Okay. So, and how much money did he get? Was it like 125, something like that?
I'm trying to remember. I actually had to write that one up, and I don't remember off
the top
of my head.
I mean, I think Patrick Corbin is coming off a better season than Yu Darvish had that year.
Patrick Corbin is coming off the best season of his career. It is the only season of his career that is at that level of
well, that's a good
Patrick
argument
Corbin.
Too.
Yeah. So for a team to give him a deal like that, it's going to be the Yankees, the way we all know it's going to be the Yankees, because for them, money is just a word that you say in the newspaper.
But they have Paxton now.
They need another guy. They want two. They want two guys.
So for another team to throw that kind of money and that many years at Patrick Corbin, it's like they don't get to make any other deals. That's just their guy, and that would suck.
See, Darvish got 6-126 last year. And I think Corbin probably matches that, even though Darvish, you're right, Justin, has a longer track record. I don't see Matt Klentak giving a six-year, $125 million deal to Patrick Corbin. I just don't. I could certainly see him going after Jay Happ or Charlie Morton. I do not want them going after Nathan Eovaldi, but I could see a Jay Happ, Charlie Morton type deal. For one, Matt Klentak has already signed Charlie Morton to a free agent contract a couple of years ago, so we know that he likes Morton. I kind of think Morton is going to end up back with the Astros again when all is said and done. But I think the Yankees are going to get either one of Corbin or Happ, and so it's just a matter of Corbin has a higher ceiling than Happ does, but Corbin's probably going to cost you 6 years, 100. He's going to cost you a Yu Darvish contract, and it's one of those things where when they make the signing, if they were to sign Patrick Corbin, I would celebrate it because it means the Phillies got a really good starting pitcher who hopefully would be good for the next couple of years. But you know that's a dangerous deal too. So I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm skeptical about the Phillies being connected to starting pitching like this.
That's what's so interesting about this offseason is that not only is it everything passes through the Harper Machado filter, but for the Phillies specifically, we know there are certain types of players that the McPhail-Klentak administration leans towards or wants in the lineup, or at least wanted in the lineup last year. Perhaps there's some sort of philosophical shift in place given the areas of need the Phillies now have. So with them being attached to pretty much everybody, like we said, in some cases, it's just like, is that guy really a part of the kind of team the Phillies are trying to build? Is he a Klentak guy? And, it just seems like throwing that much money at a pitcher, at a starting pitcher, certainly at a relief pitcher, is not something that this front office is interested in doing. But then again, it's this part of the offseason where we're seeing that they're checking in on everybody. So I think there's a line you can find where it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's probably easier with hitters because we know exactly what they're looking for in hitters. With pitching, they've said, look, you know, maybe we want a lefty, but we're not going to let that color exactly the kind. We're not going to like pick a less superior lefty just because he's a lefty. So right. I think that, that we're seeing a lot of connections to players that don't necessarily jive with the kind of team this team has made it clear they want to build. But unless something has changed, you know, maybe that's different now.
Well, and Liz, John Middleton, who knows how much of this train he's driving here, you know?
I think they're just checking in on guys.
Yeah.
I think they want to sign some people, but what in the history of Matt Klentak? They gave Carlos Santana a 3-year deal. Look at what they gave Jake Arrieta. I don't think they go that. I don't think they give 60. I don't think they give a Darvish contract to Corbin. I don't think Corbin deserves one.
Yeah.
Corbin does not deserve one. And I mean, everyone's talking him up because he had a great year. I think that's fine. And that's definitely what agents are supposed to do. And, you know, and writers have the, you know, agents have writers' ears, and this is all part of the process. But I can't see a team looking at his past and thinking, yes, let's give this guy with one, you know, with one of the best season of his career, a Yu Darvish size contract. Like I can't see if someone goes six for him, great. If that team is the Phillies, I'll get right off the boat at this stop. That's so stupid.
What's the most you do for Corbin?
For Corbin? I'd give him four.
Okay.
I don't know about dollars. I'd give him four.
480? Four. Well,
yeah, I was going to say, four between million. 75 and 100, somewhere between there over the 4 years.
Yeah.
And I would give him, I mean, for everybody's sake, I'd maybe give him an opt-out after three and tack on some kind of incentive-based thing for the fifth year. But this is also why I don't run teams and structure contracts, because honestly I'd want him for four and done with an opt-out after two and let it be the team. I love pitchers are great. Pitchers are also, unless they're super amazing and proven, they are replaceable. I think they all deserve to get paid, but the shorter contracts at this point for dudes like Corbin, who no one still really knows about, the shorter the better. Yu Darvish is super great, and he spent this year with multiple injuries
after
signing a six-year, $126 million. I looked it up. $126 million contract. I can't wait to see what he does this year. And, you know, every, you know, every other contract, you know, a player has a year like that. But, yeah. You know, I am. What did the Phillies give Halliday? They had him sign an extension to his contract.
Yeah.
And they loved him. This was a different administration. But I think, you know, I don't want pitchers to start doing the Trevor Bauer, which is stupid.
Which part of Trevor Bauer are you referring to when you say stupid?
Pick one.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is I think that this Phillies pitching staff wasn't as bad. The starting rotation wasn't as bad as we remember it being, because through August, they were, I think, fifth in baseball last year in fielding independent pitching or something like that. They had their peripherals are great. I think their defense.
The offense just disappeared.
Yeah.
The offense disappeared, and the defense sucked. So the
starters did struggle in September, and the young guys just they went past their innings limits from previous seasons. They surpassed previous innings highs, and Vince Velasquez and Nick Pivetta and Zach Eflin all hit a wall, and in September they stopped performing. But through August, the starting rotation was actually quite good. I don't know that you need a Corbin specifically to the point of giving him a 6-year deal or even a 5-year deal either. I would feel better with a 2-year, 3-year deal for Happ or a 2-year, 3-year deal for Charlie Morton. I mean, I might even feel better about a 2-year deal for Eovaldi, who I don't even really like very much. But
you can a 2-year deal. You can stuff him in a locker or shoot him into space.
You just might not be able to get him on a 2-year deal. That's the only thing.
I mean, it depends on what happens with the market. We're seeing a couple. We've seen a 1-year deal for Donaldson, who's obviously looking to bounce back from last year. So that's understandable. Kurt Suzuki got 2 years. We have no idea right now what the market looks like.
Yeah.
We just know that we should, after last year, we all know not to expect anything market setting until the winter meetings. And so no one knows. Like in January, if no one signed Eovaldi, maybe you could get him on a 2-year deal. But I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to be smarter this year and not make it look so obvious that they're all freaking colluding. You know, hopefully they've learned their lesson and won't be so incredibly, you know, sine wavy, you know, cartoon arrows pointing all over at them. Like, we are all sort of colluding here about not signing
really
players.
Hopefully it does not happen. You know, guys getting longer than they should, or teams just throwing cartoon deals at people to stop them from joining other teams. I mean, it's like they think there's not going to be any more baseball players coming up. From not being manufactured anymore. It's like buying up. Oh, Kurt Suzuki for 2 years. Thank God. Yeah, absolutely. Get in here. There's not going to be a catcher again for the next 12 years. So we're set. We're fine.
Well, let's be honest. He earned that. Suzuki was a good signing. I wanted him. You know, if Jorge Alfaro didn't exist,
but
I was surprised anyone gave him 2.
Well, I mean, the catching position is weak in baseball. I mean, there's JT Realmuto who's available in trade from everything you hear. But, you know, Wilson Ramos is still out there as a potential signing. You hear the Phillies connected to him a little bit. I wanted to back up. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm fine.
Sorry.
Not bringing him back. Well, I just want a guy who can play, and Wilson Ramos just has trouble staying on the field. And I think that's important for baseball players to be able to play baseball. That's one of my little prerequisites. You mentioned Donaldson just a second ago. We should double back and just mention, for folks who don't know, Josh Donaldson has signed a 1-year, $23 million deal with the Atlanta Braves. As Liz mentioned, this is obviously a prove-it type deal. Donaldson, I think I was surprised that he signed this early. He must have gotten... Absolutely. I guess his agent must have heard from every major league club telling him you're not getting the type of deal you want. Sign with a really good team for 1 year at a big number to prove your worth, because it seems early. I would have thought if Donaldson was going to sign a 1-year deal, Justin, that it would have been much later in the offseason rather than really he's the first big free agent off the board. Only on a 1-year deal. That part of it was surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the notion out there today that if a lot of teams had known that Donaldson was open to a 1-year deal, then some of them are probably kicking themselves right now.
Yeah, I would have taken Donaldson on a 1-year deal to the Phillies. 1 year?
1 year.
There's no such thing as a bad 1-year deal.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, that would have been one of those little we're just trying to sign every player in baseball signings that would make sense for the Phillies.
Yeah.
And to see him and Brian McCann come back to the NL East like that, those are nice little Braves moves, I guess. Anything the Braves do right now we're looking at under a microscope, obviously, because they're sort of running a parallel line next to the Phillies as far as being on the up and up in the NL East. McCann doesn't really scare me. It's just, you know, irritating to know he's going to be back patrolling the NL East, wrangling up cattle rustlers for us.
Oh,
yeah.
God. It was nice. It was so nice when he left.
Oh, man. Yeah, the fun police are back in Atlanta. Thanks, Brian.
He hasn't been that bad with the Astros. He loosened up a little bit, but I feel like being back in Atlanta will do nothing for him. Because, I mean, who knows? I mean, Ronald Acuna's on that team now, and he's certainly not the type of player that McCann left the Braves.
I was going to say, I'll be curious to see how some of the, you know, very young, very good, very jubilant talent in Atlanta, if it gets bottled up over the course of the next the next season.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, unknown reasons.
With Acuna and Albies and all the young guys they have there. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah.
Why? God, I'm sorry.
I know.
God, I hate the Braves so much.
Morosi also mentioned, and a couple other people have mentioned, Philly's interest in closers. Obviously, Craig Kimbrell they've been linked to. Zach Britton. We heard the Phillies were drawing. And these are also the buzzwords that they use. Drawing active interest in Andrew Miller. What the hell does drawing
nothing.
Active
That's
interest
nothing.
Mean?
We have to talk about this for a minute.
Oh,
there have been
code.
Absolutely no rumors, and everything that we're hearing, it's all just horrible nothing language. Drawing interest in, this is nothing. This is someone told him that the someone else called about something and mentioned his name in a meeting at lunch or whatever. Like, it's nothing. It's all meaningless, and as someone who has to write about sports all the time, I can tell you, because sometimes you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for anything, especially when you're a one-sport writer. When you're scraping, anything looks attractive.
John, what did they say with the Phillies' interest in Giancarlo Stanton? Nick Cafardo, what did he say? It was like long-term rumblings or something like...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Long shot rumblings. Nick Cafardo said there are long shot rumblings that the Yankees
drunk.
Are trying to move Giancarlo
I love
Stanton.
It. Long term rumblings say baseball collapsing on itself unless teams agree to play just with a potato instead of a ball. But the same potato in every game. They'll all be waiting for that one potato. Long shot rumblings. Who knows?
Long shot rumblings. That is a new one. I have never, ever heard the phrase long shot rumblings ever in my life referring with all this. And that's the thing. That's what's so frustrating about this whole process is that we just don't know what's real. You know, are they really interested in Britton or Miller or Kimbrell? You know, we heard Morosi has literally linked the Phillies to everyone in free agency or trade. He linked the Phillies at the end of his article about Harper and Machado to the Mariners closer, Edwin Diaz, who would be a great person to trade for, but is it reasonable? What kind of trade talks have there been? Have there even been any trade talks? We're talking about Jerry DePoto here, who will trade anybody, anywhere, anytime to anything. But I just, that's what's, you know, this is fun. This is a fun time of year. But when you're analyzing these types of things, it's really hard to wrap your hands around what's real or not. All we can do is just kind of look at the different players and say, would you want this guy? Would you not want this guy? Would you guys want Zach Britton? Would you guys want Andrew Miller? I tend to think there are other left-handed relievers out there that are younger and probably better against left-handed hitters. You know, Craig Kimbrell's kind of fallen apart a little bit, but he still had pretty good numbers for most of the year. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, let me ask you guys this. Would you trade Sixto Sanchez for Edwin Diaz?
No.
Would you trade Adonis Medina for Edwin Diaz?
No.
No.
I might do that one, but I don't know.
Because the Phillies have money to sign a closer. Do not trade for a closer. Do not spend a lot of money on a closer, on a reliever. The Phillies are allowed, to me, at most, to sign and or trade for 1 to 2. They have a lot of arms. They can sign a bunch of them whenever they want. They're always everywhere. Look around, and there's a reliever behind you right now.
They're always
trying to find a screenplay in Hollywood. It's like just talk to the barista. He's got one. Like
exactly. That's right. Is there a failed starting pitcher? That guy is your next reliever. Pick him up for nothing. Like that. There's so much crap about relievers. The only type of reliever they're allowed to sign and or trade for is elite. They can sign Craig Kimbrell. They could sign Andrew Miller. That is the end of that sentence.
Are we going to, by the way, talk about the Stanton thing? Because I had a similar point to make with that. That, like, why are you, like, prospects should be, you should consider them all tradable for one reason or another.
Let's back up. Let's just, for folks who didn't catch this, let's just catch everybody up on this. Cafardo of the Boston Globe says there are long shot rumblings that the Yankees are trying to move Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's owed $270 million over the next 10 seasons. He does have an opt out in his contract that he can opt out after the 2020 season. Cafardo mentions the Phillies as a team that maybe could possibly be interested. Not that they have shown interest. Not that he's heard rumblings that they are interested. He's totally speculating that the Phillies are one of a number of teams who perhaps, if they miss out on Harper or Machado, could consider a trade or consider trying to offer a package for Giancarlo Stanton. So I'm sorry, Justin, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I wanted just to kind of get it out there so everybody knew what we were talking about.
That's mind-numbing.
That's totally fine. We're seeing a lot of people kind of like blinking and wiping the dust from their eyes as they take a look at the Phillies this offseason. And nowhere was that more indicative than with Nick Cafardo, who clearly has not watched or paid attention to the Phillies over the past year, or just been aware of like what they're trying to do. Whether you agree with it or not, they're clearly trying to build a team of the Dodgers ilk that's, you know, very much about, oh, we know what the hell kind of team the Phillies are trying to be. A giant ass team with like 40 players and 5 secret players, and they all are fantastic at baseball, and they can all play every position, and Gabe Kapler can stick any one of them in there, whichever he decides is best that day during every at-bat. So that's what they're trying to do. Is there a player who fits that mold less than Giancarlo Stanton on a 2-year deal when he's the consolation prize to locking up the two best megastars of a free agent class of a generation for 10 years? I mean, that's if you want to sign Stanton, okay, that's something you could do. But to act like that's a replacement for Harper and Machado is crazy. Philosophically, Stanton is the exact opposite of a Klentak player. The second most strikeouts in baseball this year. He crossed over the 200 strikeout threshold for the first time in his career, finally. Goldschmidt, you know, yeah, he strikes out a lot too. He had the 8th most strikeouts, but his on base percentage is 46 points higher than Stanton. I mean, screw his health, which, like, yeah, he's been healthy the last 2 seasons. That'll still be a factor in the years to come, especially as he ages. And he can disappear for stretches with, like, 0-for-5 strikeout nights as if he's on a DL stint. So this isn't or shouldn't be the version of this the Phillies want. It's not just about, like, taking Stanton's numbers and putting them on the Phillies, where, of course, like, that would be cool to see. Oh, look, another home run. That's amazing. I can't believe someone's hitting the ball and knocking in runs for the Phillies. But it's about kind of like looking past what's directly in front of you, which is what this kind of feels like Cafardo would be doing by suggesting this, that, like, yeah, oh, Stanton on the Phillies, he's a slugger. He can hit a lot of home runs. He's like an elite. He was last year's like big free agent signing. That's what the Phillies would do. No, that's crazy. That's just not what this Phillies team is about. You talk about controlling the strike zone. The strike zone is like, the strike zone drives Giancarlo Stanton home from the game every night. The strike zone's in full control of Giancarlo Stanton. That doesn't make any sense.
Giancarlo Stanton hit 38 home runs this year. It wasn't as good as his MVP year. He still had a good season. Like, he's
852 OPS, yeah.
He's on a team. He is the second highest home run hitter. Hold on. Aaron Judge, yeah. He hit the most home runs on the Yankees. All of the entire team. Why are the Yankees getting rid of him? Why?
Well, that's the thing.
There's no reason they would do that. They traded for him like yesterday on the scale of baseball. They've had him for a season.
Would they be looking to trade him if they – maybe they'd be looking to trade him if they got a Harper or Machado?
No! Why? Giancarlo Stanton in your outfield is the goal. that the Yankees have accomplished the goal. They have made it to where they wanted to be. They're continuing to make their system better by spending all of their prospects. They've traded for Edwin Diaz. They didn't really have to. They could have spent money, but no. They said, we're going to give up some of the prospects we have that are being blocked by the people that are already up in the majors. Like, that's what you do when you've hit your goal. It's what the Phillies did when they hit their goal. They traded dudes to make the team better, and now that's what they're doing. Giancarlo Stanton is the goal that they've been trying to get to, and now they're there. Why do you get rid of one of the best things about your team? There's nothing that they could trade for that would equal him.
The Yankees aren't trying to moneyball anything. The Yankees' job is to watch young talent become elite talent in some small or mid-market uniform and then steal that talent with an icy, decrepit claw and put it into a Yankees uniform so that fans of that team have to spend the rest of that player's career watching them play baseball in the most hated team's uniform. That's what Giancarlo Stanton was. That was quite the deal for them. And just because he's not a good fit for the Phillies doesn't mean, like Liz said, like that they want Stanton on that team. That would be fantastic. To have a Stanton Harper outfield, which again, we've been told the Yankees aren't super in on Harper, but still, like, think about that. That's not two players entering the end of their careers. Like, this is on the downswing. Like, no, these are two guys who are pretty much in their prime and kind of like in the, top 10 guys of this generation. So it's pretty much they're going to be Yankees. The other thing I was going to say about this is,
but see, the thing there though is the cost. Can they, even though they're the Yankees, they don't want to have a payroll of $250 million. And I don't think they could afford to have Harper and Stanton on the same team at the same time.
Which is why they're not going to sign
Yankees,
him.
I think that's too
much money.
That's
why they're not signing Harper, because they have the outfield that they want. Aaron Judge was injured and had a down year. He'll bounce back. The dude hit like a billion home runs a year ago, granted with a bouncier ball. But everyone's home runs are down this year. The two of them are still ridiculously productive. Granted, Judge isn't Harper, but it's like they grew their own slightly off-market equivalent of Harper and put him in the outfield. They have the dudes. They just missed it this year. Like, them not making, they're looking for ways to make their team better. You know where they can't make it better? Where those two guys are currently standing.
Of the 40 arguments we're currently simultaneously having right now, I think the general point here is that the Yankees would be ridiculous to trade Stanton right now, and there's no one who would be more uncharacteristic for the Phillies to acquire than Giancarlo Stanton. And in a trade, especially at this point, consider your prospects tradable while the Phillies are trying to improve their team. But, money doesn't develop. Money doesn't play a position. Money's not going to be worth more after a change of scenery. And the Phillies have, correct me if I'm wrong, but like an almost infinite amount of it. So trading for 2 years of Stanton, as Cafardo suggested, would not be a consolation prize to signing Harper and Machado for money for a decade. It would just be like a different thing. So to connect it to that is that's absurd and not correct.
Let me say a couple other things to put a button on this Stanton thing here. One, the Phillies at one point before the trade to the Yankees were very much connected to Stanton.
Yeah.
And rumored to be interested in trading for Stanton. So I disagree a bit that I don't think he's a Klintak guy. I think Stanton at 29 years old would interest the Phillies depending on a number of different circumstances. But number two, here's the thing. The same thing applies now that applied when he was on the Marlins, when he forced a trade to the only team he wanted to play for, the Yankees. I would assume the only team Stanton wants to play for is the Yankees. Why would he okay a trade anywhere, especially to a place like Philadelphia, where we remember the comments that he made about not wanting to go to the worst team in baseball? Obviously, that's not what the Phillies are anymore. But the point being, he didn't want to come to Philadelphia. He didn't want to go to any place else other than New York. He's not leaving New York. He still has all the
power. I didn't remember that. Yeah, by the way, I'm losing losing my age.
What is Pafardo smoking something? Like, what is happening? Like, he's never he usually has some of the wilder things out there. I don't know if I've ever, you know, completely trusted him, but this is remembering that he of course still has a full no trade clause, as I believe he took that with him.
He didn't restructure the contract. He didn't redo the contract in any way.
Would he leave? That's the thing. He has all the power. The Yankees can do whatever the hell they want. It doesn't matter. He's just going to he's going to print out his contract and wave it in front of them. Say, this is what we have now, idiots. I'm here. Don't trade me. But they wouldn't do that because they wouldn't trade him to begin with.
Do we want to finish up the podcast talking about the Jason Stark piece about Bryce Harper and Trout?
But we could also put a Gene Segura cherry on top of this free agent rumor.
Let's do that.
Let's not talk. No.
Yeah.
It's not happening. Let's move on.
I think Gene Segura is an interesting one because, once again, John Morosi. I mean, is there anybody else doing this besides Morosi connecting play? I mean, he's everywhere. Says the Phillies are rumored to be interested in trading for Gene Segura. Segura is a pretty good shortstop / second baseman. He's only 28 years old. He'll be 29 in March. He's owed $14.85 million a season starting next year through 2022 before a $17 million option in 2023. He hit .304, .341, .415 last year and has hit .308, .353, .449 since 2016. He's a low strikeout guy. I think this is a guy that if the Phillies don't get Machado, I could very easily see them swinging a deal for a Gene Segura, but then, of course, the question is, I would imagine one of Crawford or Kingery goes in that deal, and you got to wonder, is Segura good enough to require Adonis Medina, or would they be able to get away with trading somebody like a JoJo Romero or an Eniel De Los Santos or something like that, along with Crawford or Kingery? Is Crawford and JoJo Romero enough to get you Gene Segura?
Toss like an Eflin in there, maybe. They're throwing Eflin's name around.
This is Jerry DePoto we're talking about.
Just give him a spinning wheel. Doesn't take much to push Jerry at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not an idiot. DePoto's not a moron, but he does love to make trades. And you know, hopefully the Phillies would go in with a low ball. But you know, I'd be fine with giving up either. I mean, if you want to know how at peace I am with whatever happens, I'm fine with them giving up either Kingery or Crawford for Gene Segura. You know, I think I've come to the point with the Phillies where I love Nola and enjoy Rhys Hoskins. And beyond that, I'm fine. I love.
Yeah, I'm reading your mail.
Let's see what we can do. Those are the only two players that I super duper care about them keeping, and beyond that, if they could make the team appreciably better, I'm fine with saying with cutting bait on JP Crawford, who I love and will continue to love and would like to see him be successful, but I just don't know if it'll happen with the Phillies now.
2018 was,
they're gonna need to include him in a deal.
2018 was a great year for that, for a great year for coming to terms. Like, now that we're this far removed from it, it has been a great year for coming to terms with things. I will, of course, not be displeased if Odubel Herrera is still on the team and comes back and has a great year again, but he had a really disheartening season in a couple of ways, and even the biggest Odubel Herrera stan, me, will perfectly fine with seeing him move along. But Segura is a guy. I mean, I talked about Stanton seeming less like a guy who fits the typical Matt Klentak profile, but Segura seems like a guy who seems like he'd be of great use in Gabe Kapler's toolbox. I mean, he can control the strike zone. He has low strikeouts. They might as well trade Crawford if you're not going to play him. And that sets Kingery up at second, his natural position, instead of having to play shortstop. You know, if the Phillies hit, I mean, we mentioned that Gene Segura, he could hit in the two hole for the Phillies, which is an area of need. The Phillies hit .215 out of the number two spot in the lineup in 2018. That's one spot one spot lower than they hit out of the eight hole.
And that's what's funny is that that position was manned by Hoskins and Santana.
So
most
they need
of the
somebody
season.
In there who can make that spot more than a non-factor in the offense.
So yeah, that's crappy hitting out of the number two hole. That is, you know, for two guys who were probably your two best offensive players last year, that you need more production out of such an important spot in the batting order, because we know the Phillies value the two hole and
that
the
was
four
the worst
hole so much.
Spot in the lineup's batting average. Non-pitching division. The worst.
That's crazy. Well, there's no doubt Gene Segura would add something to this team. He's a good defensive player. You're right, he doesn't strike out. He's a 300 hitter, gets on base. And you could conceivably, if you didn't end up trading Crawford, you could move Crawford and make him your third baseman next year. But I don't know that you have enough offense in your infield if you're doing that. But the bottom line is, it seems as though the Phillies are looking at every single different option to try and make this team better. But that's what's so confounding about this offseason is that there are a million different ways this team can go right now. So I guess final thoughts here, guys. I mean, is there a move you think is most likely for this team? Is given today's piece by Morosi about Harper or Machado, do you think it's any less likely the team is going to sign one of those guys, or does that piece really have no bearing whatsoever on whether or not these guys are going to come here?
There are no real rumors until the winter meetings. There are no real rumors until the winter meetings. And let's remember, John Morosi works for MLB.com, doesn't he?
He does.
He's the only dude writing these pieces.
Yeah.
Let's put two and two together. He's being fed. I have no proof. This is all allegedly, but I wouldn't say no to him being fed stuff from somewhere, someone, about something to produce whatever he's producing. Like, he's got being working for MLB.com at least gives him more access. And so I don't know. I feel like with so little happening, like today was the first day anything really happened. More than one thing happened today. Like three things happened all at once. And this is the biggest day we've had in the entire offseason, and it's been nearly a month of offseason. Like, the winter meetings start December 9th. Trust nothing until we get there. That is when we all know that all the owners and all, or at least most of the owners, but all the GMs are together, along with pretty much all the agents. Everyone's together, and so there are going to be rumors everywhere. Until then, everyone is spread out. No one knows anything. And everyone's just saying crap out of their mouth holes and their fingers just to get people to look at their pieces. There are no real rumors. Use your brains.
But it gives us so much stuff to talk about. This podcast would have been a lot shorter. I guess the Braves made some deals today. But no, I think it's perfectly reasonable to assume that perfectly reasonable to suggest that the Phillies sign both Harper and Machado. I don't think that's out of the question. But after talking tonight, I think a more likely or just pleasant scenario is signing Harper and Segura to play shortstop. And in that vein, honestly,
yeah.
Let's say that a move like that gets made, and Scott Kingery gets to spend a full season at second base in this dream world, where Scott Kingery isn't considered a multi-tool that fits into every hole, but is instead a guy with a position. The Phillies, obviously, as we all know, signed him to a six-year extension before he'd even played one inning of Major League Baseball. They considered his spring training to be indicative of this deep reservoir of talent that we didn't see in his rookie year. We saw effectiveness in some cases, but certainly not anything that seemed to warrant a deal of that kind. If he has a full year at second base, at a position he's played for the majority of his career, how much of an asset do you consider him? Because otherwise, I mean, like, we're talking about how badly did the Phillies miss on projecting the kind of player he was going to be?
I don't know with Kingery. I mean, I think if you get him at second base, I really do think even if he's not at second base full time, I think he has a better year this year because he'll have a year of major league pitching under his belt, a year of a grind under his belt. But I don't know. I mean, he had such a bad year last year that it's, you know, players don't typically bounce back and become really good players after a year that poor. But, you know, he showed flashes in the minors, and they obviously loved him for a reason. I think he can bounce back. I think it's a I think it's 50-50. I don't know that I'd put the odds any higher than that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. It's just more that, like, in a deal, in that scenario, they trade Crawford instead of Kingery, so you're putting your eggs in that basket. Yeah. And again, the dramatic extension they gave him before the season last year was like, all right, should we be more excited about this guy than we have been for now? Like,
yeah, well, they would certainly deal Crawford before they dealt Kingery. I think that's pretty obvious based on how long it took them to get Crawford into the lineup last year, even once he was healthy and back in the majors, how long he just spent on the bench just sitting there while Kingery continued to play every day. I think they absolutely love Kingery more than they love Crawford, and that they would most likely move Crawford in a deal as opposed to Kingery. But if it brings Eugene Segura, I'd be perfectly happy with that. And Harper Segura and a couple of pitching moves would be a very nice offseason for this team. But as we're seeing, based on some of these rumors, which again, like Liz said, are probably mostly, partially, mainly crap. Who knows exactly what's real and what's not? The winter meetings can't get here fast enough, but it does feel like things are starting to happen a little bit, and maybe we'll start to see a few more signings and a few deals take place ahead of the winter meetings coming up here in early December. But folks, that'll do it for this edition of Hittin' Season episode number 234. Real quick, just a reminder, if you haven't done so, gang, please leave a review for this podcast as well as Continued Success and or Hittin' Season, or for all the podcasts, go to Apple Podcasts and do that, please. If you wouldn't mind giving us a 5-star review, and leave a funny review, something that you think is worthy of being read on the podcast. We'll do that next week. Okay, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll talk to y'all next time right here on Hittin' Season.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all Flyers, all the time show. So much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.